So has the central government fumbled in its response as far as COVID-19 is concerned, especially in this second wave? To talk us through this and what he thinks is appropriate or not appropriate this time around is Congress MP Shashi Tharoor. Thank you very much, Mr. Tharoor, for joining us. I want to start by asking you one by one. So we've listed out about six or seven of these key points where we feel in our assessment that the central government kept changing its position from saying that there is no shortage to admitting that there is shortage by way of importing or by way of certain decisions and banning exports. First, let's talk about vaccines, Dr. Tharoor. Do you feel that there was a central government mismanagement on the issue of vaccines?
Yes, and I think it's actually a cumulative series of issues. There is undoubtedly the fact that we had a tremendous advantage. We are a country that produces 60% of the world's regular vaccine supply, and Serum Institute had gambled their own funds on actually starting to manufacture the Covishield, the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, even before full regulatory approvals had come, so that they could actually be ready and poised to unleash it as soon as the approvals came. But when the approvals came, which was by the end of last year, by the end of November last year, instead of rolling out the vaccines immediately, starting, let's say, in December, the government showed a somewhat lackadaisical attitude. They announced 16th of January for a start. Several weeks later, they had a very limited category of people, basically healthcare workers and so-called frontline warriors who were eligible. The general public were not given. Then they started gradually making it available to people who are much older. And by the time this process was rolling out, other countries which didn't have the early advantage of having a whole stockpile of vaccines in their country, they were already moving much faster ahead. The Americans were doing 3 million vaccines a day, and we in our country didn't even achieve that in the first 3 months of the year. So we were looking at a problem where, number one, we were not taking advantage of our opportunity to start vaccinations sooner. Secondly, the government didn't actually throw any money at the problem. They could have actually asked our existing Indian vaccine manufacturing companies to ramp up production levels, Serum Institute, Bharat Biotech, and so on. They didn't do that. Instead, they actually concentrated on pushing the price down in order to ensure affordability for the government, which is an understandable concern, but it also meant that the companies were unable to make any profits from either the private markets or from those individuals who could afford to
pay. So do you think that there should have been a dual strategy, Dr. Tharoor?
And therefore, they couldn't reinvest. I'm sorry, Sankeet.
No, I'm saying, do you think that there should have been a dual strategy on vaccines, that you do make it affordable for people, but at the same time also open it up for the open market for those who can pay more to pay more and get vaccinated?
Correct. So my point is that if we'd had all of this happening simultaneously, the companies concerned would have been able to make a bit of money on the private market and on the export market and plow that back into more manufacturing. The problem is now they're not manufacturing enough for the colossal needs in the country. But the colossal needs were always treated a little too casual, a little too slowly. Now, I can't 100% blame the government, Sankeet, even though as an opposition MP, I am tempted to, because there is no doubt that at the beginning of the year, we looked as if we had turned the corner, that while the rest of the world, Europe and so on, were grappling with a second wave, we had, by late January 2021, aggregate cases below 10,000 a day.
Yeah.
And so perhaps some complacency was there. The government launched on a vaccine diplomacy initiative, which people like me actually initially applauded, saying, since we don't seem to have such an urgent crisis, it's a good point to show the world that we're ready to save the world. But at the same time, we could have taken advantage of our existing infrastructure and vaccines to ramp up production, even if we didn't fear that we would need it. I mean, I'm not accusing the government of not having prescience, that they didn't know in January how badly off we would be by April. But the truth is that in the end, when we did become badly off, we
but Dr. Tharoor, you know, will that question not be asked of the government? Why didn't we know? I mean, after all, what is the planning all about? You plan for a subsequent wave. Doctors are saying that in a virus like this, which mutates, there will be further waves. So to say that we didn't foresee it coming Don't you think that is lack of planning?
So that's lack of planning is the next indictment one has to come up with, including, for example, misplaced nationalism on the part of the government that deliberately delayed authorization for all the foreign vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, Sputnik, Johnson & Johnson, all of those. They all actually applied for authorization in India because they saw a huge market here.
Yeah.
And our government dragged if we didn't push any of
no, these. I'll give you,
no
Dr.
emergency Tharoon, authorization.
Just to
no
further,
contracts. And now suddenly we're scrambling to get them.
Absolutely.
They already
just to,
have other markets.
Just to further that point, I've got this data right here. The clearance to Covaxin was given in 1 month. The clearance to Sputnik V took 2 months. But now DGCI seems to be approving newer vaccines very quickly. They've given a deadline of 3 days, which means that we wasted time. Of course, it's a very technical issue. You can't rush up vaccine clearances like this because under normal circumstances...
No, that's not true. That's not true because, in fact, unless there are objective scientific reasons to argue that the conditions under which those vaccines were tested and authorized abroad were too radically different from the conditions prevailing in India, which is clearly not the case. I mean, it's like when polio vaccines or smallpox vaccines or BCG vaccines were invented, the same vaccine was given everywhere around the world. We had absolutely no credible reason to delay other than the BJP government's misplaced sense of nationalism that we must give priority to our desi product and show our Atmanirbharta when it comes to pharmacies. So I think there was a policy mistake as well. But having said that, now the government has seen the error of its ways. The problem is, why are we scrambling to catch up when we could have been ahead of the game?
Correct. Very important. Dr. Tharoon, now this very briefly touching upon this point where you said that you actually supported the move. And the move is Vaccine Maitri, where India gave vaccines to the rest of the world. Now, I understand international commitment and also, diplomacy. But the point is, as on 24th of March, India had used 52.1 million doses, but exported 64.5 million, much more than what it is actually supposed to do as part of its international commitments. Do you feel this was a mistake?
You see, it's difficult for me as an internationalist-minded Indian to completely say it was a mistake. It became a mistake when India's cases started going up, but on the basis of the figures known in January, the government could not entirely be blamed. And frankly, we scored some very useful points with particularly our neighboring countries and others. When you talk about more than we were supposed to send, you're mixing up two things. There is the WHO-run Covaxin scheme, in which indeed we had a contribution to make and we've exceeded that. But we also use it for bilateral relationships, giving directly to a number of countries outside the parameters of WHO. So there is no supposed to number there. They're simply where India felt we could actually score points with a foreign country and improve relations with those countries. That would have been a laudable objective, but not at the expense of the Indian people. When I wrote my article praising Vaccine Maitri, I was careful to put in a paragraph saying, however, the one concern I have and the one concern many of observers have is that the number of doses being exported is exceeding by far what is being made available to to India's own people, and we shouldn't one day have to regret that. Soon after my article was published, we do have to regret it because it's true that we are now being caught napping. You know about the massive shortages of vaccines in many places, including particularly in afflicted areas like Maharashtra. And the further irony of this, I don't again only want to talk about vaccination because vaccination is part of the solution, but not the whole solution. It also is still relatively unproven. We all know vaccines are better than not being vaccinated. We know that a vaccine will give us some degree of protection, that if we still get COVID, because we can, it may not be as severe a case as if we didn't have vaccinated. All that we know. But that is something which I think that you're right to point out we faltered on. It is not too late to try and remedy, but in the short term, people will sadly fall sick and some will die because we were caught.
And that's a very, very heavy price to pay. Dr. Tharoon, my final question, though there are lots of points, oxygen flip-flop, remdesivir flip-flop, genome sequencing flip-flop. But then the most important, which I want to ask you, is lack of data transparency. I mean, even now, we do not know exact numbers as to what is causing this surge. Is it a double mutation? Is it, the UK strain, the South African strain, an Indian strain, or a mix of all? Do you think that lack of transparency in data and sharing it with the states is also a problem? We could have been better prepared.
Oh, almost definitely, we've had some real issues about data, and not even these complicated issues of which kind of strain, mutation, variant, etc. Because in fact, probably India is host to all of the ones that you have mentioned. We've seen UK strain coming into Punjab from the UK. We have seen the some isolated cases of the South African strain and the Brazilian strain. Then we've seen Maharashtra's double mutation, which is really, I have friends who had come from abroad having taken two shots of the Pfizer vaccine who have caught COVID in India because of the extraordinarily special nature of our own indigenous strain. So we have a problem. I mean, there's no question about that. But let me just add two more thoughts which go beyond even the data issue. One is, for example, the lack of financial input from the government. I mentioned it briefly at the beginning about vaccines, but the honest truth is we have PM CARES. They should be emptying the coffers to ensure that not only do we have money coming in for more vaccine manufacturing and distribution, but we also have more resources coming into hospitals, particularly government hospitals. And this is so indispensable at a time when we are just not throwing enough money at the problem. The other thing is indeed, as you hinted, empower the states much more. Give them more data, give them more information, but also give them more support. Each state is not equal to each other state. Some are more affected and some are less well prepared. Their infrastructure is weaker. We need to give them much more support than this government, has been doing.
Do you think MP Lads funds should be reinstalled so that each MP can...
I've been a strong advocate of that on the grounds of decentralization. I know local needs better than some bureaucrats in Delhi would know. And while they may have a better idea of the big picture, a small amount, it's only 5 crores a year per MP, that is being spent on the basis of local priorities. You could have had a rule saying, ever since the COVID pandemic began, MP funds may only be spent on COVID-related expenditure. Fine. But let us at least in consultation with the local people, the local doctors and the local realities, allocate some of that money. I was able to do so with my last available funds before the ban. But for 2 years, we have no money coming in. And I think that's a great pity. In the meantime, give some more money from your funds, from PM CARES, from anything else to the state governments. Enable them to have the flexibility to address the terrible tragedies many of them are suffering. When I hear the stories coming out of UP and Maharashtra, my heart bleeds. There are human tragedies unfolding every day before our eyes.
Correct.
And we cannot afford the government being complacent about any of this. It is not just a management problem, not just a planning problem. It is a human tragedy and must be faced and addressed as such.
Okay.